Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We're locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Hello, hello.
And we have Beth Habecker with us.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Got fun things to get into this morning. We're going to, of course, talk about our winner of the turkey trivia from our friends at IGA. We will mention some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. Got some entertainment news as well. And we're going to get into the kitchens open, as we've gotten the tradition of doing on Monday mornings here. I don't remember the last time I had a weekend where I didn't have run into somebody or have somebody email me, hey, what's the topic this Monday? People have really been enjoying the show, you two, and you're doing a fantastic job. One of the signs of a great show in history is a spinoff of that show. the Jeffersons, create 227, you know, things like that. The Jeffersons was created off of All in the Family, you know, that kind of thing. And in that mind, I have a little breaking news for everybody. We actually have a new show that is going to be premiering this week. I've been talking to Mike and Sage for a while because my ego, I mean, I couldn't handle you two, and Seth has a show and you guys have this show, so I wanted the show. So Mike and Sage, I finally have been working for months on this, and I finally got them to let me give me a show. Okay. It's going to be called What's James Burning? It's 2 minutes. It'll be about 3 in the morning on Tuesday or Thursday, about 3 in the morning, somewhere around there. And it's only about 2 minutes. The intro music actually takes up about 45 seconds of the show. But, you know, I'm working on this there right now. Go. I'll let you guys know when I actually put it and produce it together. Yeah. But, you know, I'm
sure it'll be beautiful.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what False Confession Day is all about.
Yes, this is exactly. That's almost unfair that you saw where I was going with it. And at the same time, I love that you did. Oh, just so great. Let me get out of your way. I'm so sorry, you guys. It is time for the kitchen to open. This is the show inside the show. Beth and Melissa, do you guys? The stage is all yours.
All right. So I don't know if anybody knows, but Thanksgiving is this week. So while it's a feast for the eyes, the stomach, and the senses, after all it's said and done, what do you do with all the leftovers? So today we're going to discuss what you can do to not only physically deal with the massive amount of food you may have left over, but also ways to mentally prepare.
Always good to do both.
Yes, indeed. Now, after the big meal, I don't know about you guys, but I always like to have at least one more meal of the leftovers just straight up. So many of us enjoy that really full holiday spread, the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, gravy, all the sides. But how do you reheat it without losing integrity?
And it can be challenging depending on what device you're using. So, you know, a lot of us have this wonderful little box that sits on a counter in our kitchen called a microwave, which is a great place to go with it. But you need to worry about moisture with that. It can dry out very easily. So to reheat in the microwave, add something that's going to be a little bit of moisture to it. So you could add like broth. Chicken broth with the turkey, something like that, or a little butter, and it keeps everything from drying out. Make sure that you cover it. Parchment paper will work. You could use a paper plate. There are actually companies that will sell a cover for over a plate. So if you want to do a plate instead of the container, you could do that.
For the microwave.
Or you could always do what a lot of people like to do, is just smother it all with gravy again, because that gravy will give it the moisture that it needs. But you want to do every so often, stir it, because microwaves have a tendency to heat things unevenly. So the more that you can do that every, 30 seconds to a minute or so, that'll help it reheat evenly.
Yes. And you can also reheat on the stove, and you want to do the same thing. Add a tablespoon of oil or butter to the pan and heat it on medium. Give things a stir now and then to evenly distribute the heat, and also covering the pan will help to retain moisture.
Yep. Now, you also have to remember, leftovers are usually only good for about 3 to 4 days in the refrigerator. So after that, it starts to gather the bacteria and it could start to make you sick. So you want to make sure that you eat it within that time frame. But there comes a point where all of us kind of get sick of doing that same meal same old time. So what you can do is maybe look for things for each individual ingredient, or figure out other ways to incorporate other ingredients into that.
Well, casserole is the first obvious choice for many in the Midwest. I found this amazing recipe, which I am so excited to try. So I found it on favefamilyrecipes.com, mm-hmm. favfamilyrecipes.com. And it really, combines everything.
Hmm.
So you start with an 8x13 or an 8x9. Sorry, I can't talk this morning. 8x8 or 9x13 pan, however big you want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you combine the gravy with the cranberry sauce
to give
it your base. And then you can layer in the mashed potatoes and corn or whatever other veg you have. And then add a layer of gravy, sprinkle mm-hmm. the leftover stuffing on top of that. And then you want to drizzle a little bit of chicken broth or melted butter so that the stuffing doesn't get dried out.
Cover
that with a tin foil and bake it in a 400-degree oven for 25 to 30 minutes until it's heated through.
That sounds delicious. And that
Doesn't
may be the
though?
One way that we can get James to eat the meal with everything touching.
Maybe.
It's true. It's very true.
And if you don't want to do everything that you had at the one meal in one casserole, try adding other things and focus on an individual side dish or ingredient that you want. We all know that leftovers are never left in equal quantities. So to make sure that you have enough. So there's always a family member who wants to eat the stuffing or maybe takes more of the mashed potatoes or cranberry sauce. And there are some websites out there that you can go to just type in that single ingredient that you have left over, and it'll give you recipes that you can add things to. So allrecipes.com has broken things down, hasn't it, Mel?
Yeah, so you can look for cranberry leftovers, potato leftovers, turkey leftovers. Apparently nobody leaves stuffing leftovers, so there wasn't a category for that. But they have a lot of different recipes for things pertaining to turkey, mm-hmm. such as pot pie, tetrazzini. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
I've never eaten it, so I don't know. But I hear it's delicious.
Yeah.
Soup, salad. There mm-hmm. are even salad recipes out there.
Amazing that you could mm-hmm. use all of your leftovers for salads. Parade.com also has 67 different recipes that not only includes the leftovers, but also adds another item to create new dishes in case you're tired of the same old, and having everything thrown into one pot. So mm-hmm. things such as leftover ham tortellini, ham fried rice with pineapples, potato cups Ooh. With cheddar and chives. That Aww. Sounds yummy. Mm-hmm. Mashed potato casserole with crispy chicken and leftover pumpkin Ooh. Pie spice bread.
Ooh.
Interesting.
That
sounds yummy. Yeah. A fun one is a recipe for leftover crunch wrap. Think Taco Bell meets Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm totally there for that one.
Another place you could go is maybe a family cookbook. I know I have a recipe that I got from my grandmother that uses the leftover turkey. It was originally a chicken casserole recipe, and I throw in turkey instead, and it uses elbow macaroni, cream of chicken or mushroom soup, a little bit of sour cream, and then you top it with crunched up Ritz crackers with some melted butter, and that becomes the crispy topping. It is delicious.
Ooh, that sounds really good. My mom always made turkey a la king.
Oh,
after
yeah.
After Thanksgiving. That was her favorite thing, and I despised it as a child. I absolutely hated it because she put pimentos in there,
Ooh.
And I just thought pimentos were disgusting.
You got to find a good recipe. Yeah.
I mean, I would enjoy it now. Like, mm-hmm. if I could eat my mother's turkey a la king again, I would probably cry.
Yeah.
But tears of joy. But yes, no, that was her favorite thing to make after Thanksgiving.
And there are actually recipes out there if you do happen to have stuffing left over. I mean, granted, that's probably the thing that's going to go first on your table. But my mother-in-law uses the leftover stuffing and makes an egg casserole out of it for breakfast the next morning.
Oh, nice.
So if you wanted to try and set some aside, and you can find recipes online for that as well.
That's a great idea, because after all of that cooking, having something you can just pop in the oven mm-hmm. for breakfast the next day, that's a really great idea.
And you can make that the night before, refrigerate mm-hmm. it, so all it has to do is go in the oven that next morning.
That's perfect. Well, we have to, talk about soup, obviously, because you can make awesome soups with leftovers, and the turkey carcass can be used a second time to make broth that you can freeze to use later.
Absolutely, and it's such a creative medium. Almost anything can go when it comes to soup. You could mm-hmm. simmer your carrots, onions, garlic to create the beginnings, and then just go from there. Add whatever leftovers you desire with enough broth to cover and make delicious soup to eat all week.
Mm-hmm.
It also freezes well, so it doesn't need to be eaten for too many meals in a row, and you can keep those leftovers going for, all the way up through Christmas.
Right? So also when you cook your turkey carcass to make the soup stock, another option you have is making bone broth. Mm. I don't know if you've been hearing the word, you know, excitement around bone broth lately.
Yeah.
But it's similar to making soup stock, but you simmer the bones for a long time.
Okay.
So I usually cook mine in low in the crock pot overnight.
Oh.
Or for at least 12 hours.
Wow.
If you add a little bit of apple cider vinegar, that will help break down the animal proteins in the connective tissue.
Okay.
And that adds more nutrition and more protein and more collagen to your broth.
Hmm.
So the bone broth is really good for your joints, digestive system, and skin. It also makes a really delicious soup.
It sounds like a great base for a soup.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you don't want to have, what if you don't have a variety of leftovers? And you still want to have some ideas of what to make in that next week. What can we do?
Yeah. If you don't want to have leftovers, it's a you could ask each of your guests to bring a Tupperware dish with to take leftovers home, or just have a stock of empty containers on hand that you don't mind giving to your guests to take stuff home with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome way to make sure that the food gets used, and it takes the onus off you as the host to fit everything into your fridge afterwards.
Yeah, and these are great ideas if you don't want to have to worry about making all those leftover meals afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You could plan your meal as a potluck and have everyone bring their dish, and then that way they can take their dish home with them, and you're not left with their leftovers as well.
Right, right. Another great idea is to use freezable dishes to create those casseroles or easy-to-reheat meals that you can immediately freeze to use later.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great idea if you want easy family meals on weeknights or quick things to grab to take with you for work.
Yeah,
you just have to have a microwave at work to heat them up.
And remember to add the moisture.
Right, right. Put that pat of butter in before you throw it in the freezer.
But the big thing with Thanksgiving is the time that we get to spend with friends around the table eating all of this delicious food. So
yeah.
Enjoy that time together.
And don't stress about it.
Right.
And hopefully this will give you some tips and ideas mm-hmm. to help make that time enjoyable.
And the internet is always a great place to go for ideas.
Oh, goodness, yes. There's so many recipes out there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we should close the kitchen.
I think with that, the kitchen's closed, James.
Kitchen's closed, everybody. Have to come back next Monday. That was fun, you guys. That was really cool. I actually was keeping a couple of things in mind, and I'm actually going to go back and listen to the podcast and write a couple of the things down that you guys were talking about there, because it just sounded good to try.
Mm-hmm.
And as you started it all off with, I mean, we all have leftovers afterwards. It's kind of fun to have to like do something different with those leftovers than just throwing them between two slices of bread, you know?
Mm-hmm. Creative with it.
Yeah.
If I could just add, I don't eat a lot of turkey except for this time of year.
Right.
And I'd like to eat it, you know, try it a little different. You know, I eat it the same way every year my whole life. I mean, here we go. I could try some different things. I've never even thought of a lot of that. I'd never thought of.
Yeah.
But a turkey sandwich really can't be beat.
No,
it
can't.
That is one of my favorites. And I can't believe that didn't make the list.
I
but
know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the best leftover lunch the next day.
It is one of the greatest leftover meals ever. It's right up there with cold pizza. It's right up there.
Especially if you got homemade bread to put it on.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Great show, you two. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate the work you guys put into that show. That was a lot of fun. I'll be listening, everybody, for next Monday for another Kitchens Open.
Mm-hmm.
Do want to, before we go to break, mention one more time, Katie Brandt. Congratulations, Katie Brandt.
Congratulations, Katie.
She won the turkey. Thanks to our friends at Quality Foods who were playing some turkey trivia with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking a bunch of qualifiers all week, the last couple of weeks. We finally got ourselves a winner, Katie Brandt. Congratulations, Katie.
Yes.
And if you happen to run into Katie, congratulate her. And please buy local, support local, visit Quality Foods for all your food needs.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate our friends over there. And a great job again to our staff, to our team around here doing this. And certainly all you listeners out there that called up and played along. Thank you so much.
Yes.
We will, again, congratulations to Katie Brandt. Congrats, Katie. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, here. I'm joined by Melissa and Beth. And it's time for us to get into a little bit of entertainment news real quick. They've started to release a little bit of information about what the plot is going to be for the next Indiana Jones movie.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, really?
Indiana Jones 5. It will take place in the 1960s, and yet somehow India is still fighting Nazis. The movie is set against the backdrop of the space race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union.
Okay.
But the big bad guy is going to be played by one of the greatest villains out there, Mads Mikkelsen. Mads, you would know if you watched the TV show Hannibal. Mm-hmm. He was Hannibal Lecter. He has been in like everything since then. He was in Doctor Strange and Multiverse. He was in Rogue One. He is one of the greater, more talented actors in the game today. And he's going to be playing the bad guy, who is loosely based on Wernher von Braun, a real-life Nazi who went on to become a NASA engineer.
Oh.
Screenwriter Jez Buttonworth says, quote, "The simple fact is that the moon landing program was run by a bunch of ex-Nazis. How ex they are is the question, and it gets up Indy's nose."
Okay.
So this is where they're going to be going with that. It should be interesting.
Yeah.
Not the first time I believe Indy has faced off against Nazis, but I don't know. I'm very curious to see how this does box office wise, and they can't do this necessarily, but I would love to be able to break it down and know how many people this will be their first Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, yeah.
And how many people are going to be seeing it like I am, because I've seen every Indy Jones movie. I've seen them all. I'm a huge fan of Indiana Jones. It's one of my favorite like things I used to do was when I was a little kid, running around the house, driving my dad crazy, trying to lasso him. And
singing
like
that theme song the whole time.
Yes, basically, yes. I can't tell you how many times I would have friends like do the scene with me where the sword guy comes in and does all the cool swords and bang.
Bang.
Just like, oh, God, there's so much about those movies I love.
And all because during filming, he was not feeling well.
Yep. Yep. So I don't know. I'm curious. It'll do good, I think.
Yeah.
How good it does is what I'm curious on. And how, like, if there are people who are like, hey, let's check out this whole Indiana Jones thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's certainly a lot of nostalgia for a lot of people with this one.
You know, and there's millions of dollars being spent all the time on nostalgia when it comes to these movies or what gets greenlit to make, hey, you know what? We should bring that back.
Yeah.
Let's have a second Hocus Pocus, even though it's been 20 years or whatever. And regardless, one of the things that these companies have going for them, like a Disney, for example, Disney's best example for this. They put a ton of money into that Hocus Pocus 2.
Yep.
They realize that it's going to be a limited audience, limited release and all that. And they also don't care.
Right.
They don't care if they necessarily make their money back on it, because more for them, it's, hey, we got content. Look it, we're creating new content. Mm-hmm. Look, we're still creating more stuff. It's not just about the people coming to see Hocus Pocus 2. It's the person who's been on the fringe of, do I want a Disney Plus subscription? I mean, what really do they have that I don't already have on DVD or something like, oh, they're making new stuff. Oh, they have new shows. Oh, they have this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of what is the lifeblood for these streaming services nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It should be cool to see. Shania Twain is being honored with the Music Icon Award at the People's Choice Awards.
Wow.
Good for her.
She will also perform a melody of her greatest hits, and she says, quote, "I'm so incredibly honored. I have some of the greatest fans in the world."
Yeah.
They have supported me since the early days, and it's their love and passion that keeps me going. I'm thrilled to go back on tour and bring my new music and fan favorites to them. The show will air on December 6th on NBC and E. I think it's I think that Shania Twain, where her career started.
Yep.
And had it just gone and continued and everything, and she had hits here and there and all that, I think it'd still be noteworthy, and I think she would have earned this award. I always admire when people, they're right up here, biggest name in the world, if not the biggest, one of the biggest names in the world. And then they kind of fade away, or they go away for a while, and then they come back, and hey, their fan base is just sitting waiting for them and everything. Like, hey, Shania, we missed you. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Mm-hmm. By the way, you're a best-selling artist again. And you're one of the biggest names in pop and country music and everything.
Yep.
She deserves that. She earns that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so rare you see that happen, especially in music. You know, there's plenty of times where I can mention a John Travolta to you, and I can tell you somebody who was a huge name when he first came out, jumped out the gate and everything. His star fades for a while, and he does Look Who's Talking and some movies like that, and then he does this little movie called Pulp Fiction, and his name blows up, and he's all over it. That happens with actors all the time. Just doesn't happen with musicians very often. We're much more what you see, what have you done for me lately in the music industry, as fans, as listeners. We don't tend to do do a lot of that. It's noteworthy that she's been able to do this. And she's incredibly talented, too.
Yeah. I mean, her voice is still just as solid now as it was back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how this is going to go over for you, Melissa. I apologize for that. I think it's worked okay in the past, but I just want to warn you just in case. We're going to play some audio right now, and we usually do that through our PC feed, mm-hmm. which is also the feed that Melissa comes in through. So I believe, in theory, this should work fine. We've done some things like this before, but I really wanted people to be able to hear this. Dolly Parton over the weekend that they played at the 2022 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony began streaming on HBO Max over the weekend. It went down back on November 5th in LA. Dolly Parton was introduced by Pink. Then Dolly explained how she almost passed on the honor. And I just wanted to play a little of that for everybody. So that's what we're going to do right now.
It is my pleasure to induct you into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I tell you what, this is a very, very, very special night for me. I'm sure a lot of you knew that back when they said they were going to put me in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I didn't really feel like I had done enough to deserve that. And I didn't understand at the time that it's about a little more than that. But I'm just honored and so proud to be here tonight. And thanks to all of you.
This is a nice little humble moment with her. And so she's just so darn genuine, mm-hmm. you know. I thought it was a very cool moment to kind of share with everybody. And I know a lot of people probably didn't get to hear her speech or anything like that. Not everybody has HBO Max or whatever, that kind of thing. Didn't think it was worth hearing, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could hear it, and if any of those that didn't get to hear the rest of her speech, she's still not sure she belongs in there. She's still being very, very humble and very, you know, kind of like standoff, like almost embarrassed that that they're doing this. And, you know, I just think that that's really noteworthy again, you know, with somebody like her.
But think of how many of her songs were crossover hits. You know, things like Island in the Streets, 9 to 5. We all know those songs. They're not just owned by the country genre. Those cross the borders.
I think mm-hmm. that of all the Hall of Fames as far as music goes, and I'll keep it not necessarily considering like the Country Music Hall of Fame or the mm-hmm. Grand Ole Opry Hall of Fame or the Apollo Hall of Fame, not talking about those necessarily. But for something like this, they got it right away with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Who influenced these artists?
Right.
If you go back and listen to the Beatles, if you listen to the Rolling Stones, if you listen to the guys from Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, any of these English rock stars growing up in England and listening to the music that they did, ask them what they listened to. It. Every single one of them will tell you, I listened to this blues artist or this American blues artist mm-hmm. or that American blues artist. Mm-hmm. So would you say that blues you have to say that a direct impact of rock and roll was the blues.
Right.
What spun off of the blues or what spun off of rock and roll? You got punk rock, you got math rock, you got prog rock, you got et cetera. Then you have the people that spun off of that. Hip hop is a big thing that spun off of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people connect the two, but they really did. Jazz spun off of hip hop, spun off of jazz and blues, and all of them are connected. Every musician in history is dealing with the same notes.
Yeah.
They're all dealing with the same notes, yep. everybody. So why not have it? Not only do you expand your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you bring in more people and mm-hmm. you can get more audience and everything, but you treat it like I think music should be treated.
Right.
I think one of the great, if I could own a record store, one of the first things that I would do is tell my employees, we're not going to have sections. We'll have everything lined up in alphabetical order, sure.
Right.
But I'm not going to separate this country artist from this rock artist or or that or anything. How many of us truly do that in our lives? Do you have we all have like playlists nowadays and stuff, mm-hmm. and everybody might have a playlist of certain music, sure. But for the most part, you hit shuffle and you just listen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Enjoy the music.
Yeah.
It's music. It's all
whatever
music.
Whatever moves you.
Yep.
It's the same notes, you know.
Right. And there might be somebody that, because you consider them this genre, you haven't listened to, but they may have a song that might really mean something to you if you were to give it a chance.
Resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We will take a break. We will get to Melissa's news. We'll come back. Some That I Write stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more fun coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR. Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. 9:37 on the clock. James, Melissa, Beth here with you. We are having a fantastic Monday out there. Thank you so much for kicking it off with us. Got some That Ain't Right stories to get into, and this is an interesting one, all right. This sounds like a silly lawsuit, but it could have big implications. Jack Daniel's Whiskey wants the Supreme Court to weigh in on a case about a chew toy for dogs called Bad Spaniels.
Okay.
It's an obvious riff off the product and looks just like a bottle of Jack, but the wording on the label is very different. The famous Jack Daniel's label says Old Number 7 Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey. The Bad Spaniel's label says the Old Number 2 on your Tennessee carpet.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The company that... I barely got through that. I did not know how I was going to get through that sentence. The company that makes it has similar products for other drinks, too. A Mountain Dew version called Mountain Drool. A Heineken called Heine Sniffin. A Stella Arnazio. Stella Arnazio called Smella Our Crotch. Yeah, they've got a lot of these. They got a lot of hits here. They say the people at Jack Daniel's can't take a joke, but Jack claims Bad Spaniels is too close to their whiskey and could confuse people who might think it's an official product of theirs. They've actually been hashtagging this out for a long time. A Budweiser version called, different thing, a Budwiper, already got banned in 2008. If Jack Daniels wins the case, it would force other parody products to be discontinued too. The Supreme Court could announce whether they'll hear the case sometime this week, even as early as today. I'm going to show Beth the picture of the two bottles next to each other.
No.
I can't.
I'm looking at a picture too. They're not identical.
No.
I'm a fan of Jack Daniels, I'll admit. I think they make a very good whiskey. This is the first time in my life that I've ever actually had any negative feeling about Jack Daniels that did not involve a hangover.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right?
We've got enough examples in history to speak to that, Beth.
Yeah.
You could not be more accurate about that. We know statistically, we know financially, we just know that this doesn't have a... You make so much more, like, I would go the complete other direction if I was Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. I'd be going the complete other direction. I'd work with these people and see, hey, can want to do a cross-promotion thing?
Mm-hmm.
People love dogs. Like, I don't think you, if you are not in that world, I don't think you understand how much that has changed our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy, part of the only thing, the reason we survived the pandemic is how much people love their dang dogs.
Right.
And it sounds silly. I'm not exaggerating. Look at, you're a search engine away from looking at this stuff. Look at the growth of any population, especially rural communities. You know, the one thing that they have, every single one of them have in common? A dog park.
Right.
It's the silliest darn thing, but it's the truth.
Like, and this is a number two you don't mind picking up.
Right. Yes.
And it's not like you're going to confuse it with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Right. No. Exactly.
See, this is where the argument falls completely apart. And I'm actually a little surprised it even got to court.
Yeah.
To the Supreme Court, nonetheless. They could not look less alike. It doesn't look anything. Not only does it not look anything like a bottle of Jack Daniels, but their whole argument being based on, I go to the store to buy a bottle of Jack Daniels. I get home and I've got this Bad Spaniels bottle.
They're not even in the same part.
Toy?
Yeah, no. And they're not in the same department in a grocery store anyway. But I mean the rubber that you see for the chew toy or whatever material that is, completely different shade of color.
Yeah,
there's no way that you can confuse that color with the whiskey.
No.
I will say this. The only argument you have is if you did go to the store and this happened to you, you've probably had enough, Jack. You probably had enough. Because if you're mistaking these two, that's the only way I could see you can mistake these two is if you've used too much of one of these products.
Right.
That's the only way.
And if they do buy the other one, it doesn't mean that they're not going to go back and buy the Jack, because that's really what they want. So if nothing else, you know, maybe they'll sell more bottles.
I don't like telling other people what to do with their money or talking about other people's money or anything, but Jack Daniels has been around for a long time. They're one of the best-selling alcohols, let alone whiskeys, in the world. Like, even if you were to tell me that, yeah, but we're losing this percentage of our sales because people are having this hiccup or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can make that up if you're any good at your job at Jack Daniels by marketing this better, you know, marketing it to in a more in a way that includes this doesn't subtract it.
Right.
Nobody in history has ever looked good taking somebody to court.
No.
Even when you're justified doing it, mm-hmm. it never, like, you know, as far as public opinion, the court of public opinion and all that, it never looks good. And you're telling me we're losing this percentage of people because of their mistake in the product. How many are you going to lose? How many dog lovers are you going to lose because of something like this?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're going to lose more. Than whatever the percentage is, and that's convincing the Supreme Court that this is actually even happening. They don't have any data or any proof that this is even happening. They're just assuming this is happening.
How did it get up to the Supreme Court in the first place? That's what concerns me.
I have many, many follow-up questions, Beth. Yes, you and I both.
Probably a lot of appeals.
Yeah.
I hope it's just that. I hope it's just appeals and not, you know, something in somebody's pocket. Because I'm sorry, that happens way too much. That ain't right, man. That ain't right story on many different levels. It actually makes me want to go out and buy one of those toys for my fur brother, for Sam.
There you go.
It actually pushes me the other direction of actually wanting to support that company. Because that's funny. That's a creative toys. And they're not.
And they also put right on the packaging, this product is not affiliated with Jack Daniel Distillery.
There you go.
I should have said that. Thank you, Melissa. Yeah. It's a good point. That's a very good point to bring up. and again, to all of our points, how could you even do this if you were, like, I don't know how you could even do this. So we'll take a quick break. We got one more That Ain't Right story, some good stories of the day, all coming up for you right here on Mornings at WFHR. We are Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. We have Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour with nothing but fun.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a good time or we have to do the show over. In a normal bank robbery, and by normal, you use parentheses when you say that, of course. In a normal bank robbery, the authorities may try to track the thief down by analyzing the handwriting on a note he hands to the teller. But this guy made that part way too easy.
Okay.
Way too easy. A 30-year-old man named Michael Lloyd has admitted to robbing a bank in Missouri earlier this year after he handed a teller a note that said, "Give me your money now. Give your money now. Don't say anything. I have a partner outside." The teller followed the order, and Lloyd got away with about $754.
Okay.
The note was written with a pink highlighter on the back of his birth certificate.
What?
What? Sorry. He couldn't find any other paper?
One more time. It was written in pink highlighter on the back of his darned birth certificate. Lloyd was also wearing an active ankle monitor at the time. Naturally, the authorities had no problem tracking him down. Lloyd told the police he had gotten in a fight with his lover and he had robbed the bank to, quote, prove a point. It's unclear what the point was. He's looking
that he could get back in jail.
He's looking at a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison and a humongous fine.
Yeah, and I'm guessing he's not going to get parole or home arrest anymore if he's out doing something like that with an ankle monitor.
I don't mean to go all serious or anything with a story like this, but I can't help myself sometimes. So in all seriousness, everybody, if you really, really want to get featured in our That Ain't Right stories, you don't have to try this hard.
Right.
You don't have to go this far, Lloyd. You didn't have to go that far, man. We can talk it out. Reach out to me and we'll figure out some way to get you on the show some other way. That's the only rational, like the closest I can come to a rational reason of why somebody would do this is to show up on our show.
Right.
It's the only thing I can think of. I for the life of me can't even okay, let's try to handle this with as much PC-ism as we can, everybody. Take the most unintelligent person you've ever known in your life. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm thinking of them. I hope everybody else think about somebody like that. That person, could you even imagine them doing something like this? I can't. And I've known some pretty, you know, let's be honest, I'm not the brightest bulb in the ball, in the light parade or anything either here. Well, so I don't know.
And how many of us know exactly where our birth certificate is?
Oh, that's a good, good point.
Well, I know where it is, but it's not sitting around on a table of random
pieces. That's what
paper,
I was going to say. Yeah.
Waiting to be used.
You have to go search. I mean, there is intent to get that particular piece of paper.
Right. I mean, you've almost got, am I alone in thinking that you've almost got to be trying to get caught or trying to, like,
that's what it seems
like. Yeah.
It really does. Like, I mean, there are cries for help all the time in society and stuff. And I'm not saying that's what this is, and I don't want to make light of that at all. But, I mean,
really?
This almost seems like one where the police like go like catch him and everything, and they're like, "Come on, be honest with me, man. Did you just want to go to jail? Like, yeah. I mean, what is going on here? What is really the reasoning behind this?
Wow,
That ain't right.
No,
that is, and I know I shouldn't feel this way about this, but this is honestly one of my favorite That Ain't Right stories we've ever done. Just the sheer ridiculousness of it. There's a couple of key things you need for a good That Ain't Right story. You certainly, first and foremost, nobody can get hurt. Right. No, you know, it ceases to be funny once that happens and everything.
Right.
But then you need some like factors in there. Some like what the what factors are, or what
absolute
in the what.
Absolute ridiculousness.
Yes. This one has this all over.
Right.
Just when you think it can't get worse, it gets worse.
The only thing that would make it funnier if it was one of a bank statement that, like a deposit slip that he had to sign for,
yes.
And that was on, that's what it was on the back of.
We need a palate cleanser here. We need to get to some good stories of the day. And one of them is an audio one I'm going to do for everybody right now.
Okay.
A young girl out of St. Louis was honored last week after she helped her mom deliver her baby sister at home. With the help of a 911 dispatcher on the phone, here is the 10-year-old Miracle, the 911 dispatcher, and Miracle's mother, Viola Fair, talking about this amazing story.
She said, call 911, and then I called, and then that's when she had the baby.
I learned pretty quick that we had a serious situation. She followed all of my instructions to a T and did an amazing job, and a few minutes later, we had another baby girl in the house.
It was definitely a miracle, because once I had the baby and she came out, I couldn't really, like, grab her or pick her up or nothing, so then Miracle came, and she was trying to wrap her up in a towel. She kind of rubbed her back a little bit so she can cry. Very thankful.
Mm. Wow.
Quite the story.
And another appropriate naming. Miracle.
Right, yeah. I mean, really, just it's right there for you. Whatever name you had for that little girl, I'm sorry. Yep. It had to change. Like that. It'd be kind of funny if they had that name already picked out, though.
That was a 10-year-old's girl, the one that delivered the baby's name.
I mean,
was Miracle.
Her name. You're right,
and,
yes.
And it's a miracle that she was able to be so calm about it, because I don't know a lot of 10-year-olds that wouldn't get freaked out in a situation like that.
Yeah. Just an
incredible. That's a little scary.
Yeah.
That is one incredible young lady right there. That is really something.
Wow.
And just, again, another note to, you know, we our EMTs, our people that do these kind of jobs and everything, I literally would not be here without them. There's no way my mother and father could have delivered me without the firefighters and the EMTs that showed up at my aunt's house that day to do that. And they do these kind of things all the time.
And a shout out to the 911 operators, those dispatchers that are able to have the training and be able to calmly talk somebody through something like that.
One of the things we like to do on this show is highlight people or different groups of people that we don't necessarily get a chance to do that with very often. Mm-hmm. We do this with our dispatchers quite a bit because we just don't have enough time in society where we thank our dispatchers enough. I have never seen that show 911, but I was so excited to see that show be successful, because it just, maybe even if it's just like five people, it's five more people that maybe know a little bit more about what dispatchers go through.
Right.
Not saying it's a realistic telling of what it is to be a dispatcher, but it's better than nothing. I mean, how many other shows are there out there about dispatching and that, you know? It's kind of cool to see that.
Yeah.
And hopefully gives us a little more credit to it, which also hopefully creates future dispatchers.
Yes.
I hope people are keep looking at the big picture in this world that we live in today and age and everything. There's so many cool and great things about modern days and modern times, but one of the things that does freak me out a little bit is how much we uncredit or we discredit certain jobs And we do this thinking, okay, we'll just keep making those. Mm-hmm. We'll just keep making farmers. We'll just keep making politicians. We'll just keep doing. And I'm hearing from more and more from the younger generation, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I have no interest in that.
Right.
I see society hates that person or hates that job. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to do that?
Exactly.
We have to get better about this. Because I don't know. It's all well and good, and it's very easy to pick on politicians. How many of you are doing it?
Right.
Who's gonna do it if they ain't? I mean, there's. And I'm just using that, just pulling that out of the sky.
Right.
There's millions of other jobs, and maybe even more important jobs that we could say that about. Let's see. Speaking of newborns, have you seen the video of a chimpanzee being reunited with her baby?
Aww.
It happened at a zoo in Kansas last week. Zookeepers had to do an emergency C-section on Tuesday, and they were separated for 2 days.
Aww.
They put the baby in mom's pen on Thursday and let her in. It took 20 seconds before she realized he was there. Then she immediately rushed in and hugged him. Even the zookeeper filming it started crying. It's a wonderful video. Again, if you need a palate cleanser, it is a perfect one to go to. I watched it about 90 times over the weekend.
How sweet.
It is a beautiful story. Remember the plane that crash landed on a golf course in Wisconsin last week with over 50 shelter dogs on board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them have already been adopted.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
By the first responders who helped save them.
Of course.
I'm actually a little surprised not all of them were adopted by all of them. Yes. It's a really wonderful story. I think we're going to hear more and more on that story in the next month or two, too, as these dogs get adopted and everything. And that continues. Yeah. A 23-year-old guy near Vancouver got busted for drunk driving last Wednesday and will lose his license for 3 months. But instead of being a drunken jerk like we're used to, he thanked the cop for stopping him and gave him a hug.
Wow.
It's all on video, and you see him doing this. And yes, I think that there's an easy joke to be made about the kind of drunk he is.
Mm-hmm.
There's those two types of drunks, the ones that get angry and the one, I love you, man. You're the greatest man. Sure, there's a little of that. Maybe. I don't know. But more so, that person who was arrested is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Not only did he save possibly his life, but maybe more importantly, strangers' lives that did not have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got drunk driving is one of the bigger epidemics that we don't talk about and we don't do a dang thing about. What do? When it happens, a tragedy happens, oh, that's horrible. That shouldn't happen. We should do something about that. Maybe we should look at what's this over here? Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do every time. Personal responsibility. Oh, what about the people who were drinking just fine and responsible? I'm so tired of the argument always being about whataboutism. Stick to the point, man. Just stick to the actual subject. Why is this happening? What can we do to prevent it from happening anymore?
Right.
Other good stories of the day going on. I want to touch on some local stuff with that. It's bring your child to a fun. You can bring your child to a fun class where they will learn how to make a beautiful beaded bracelet with the talented and creative Mary Beth Severin. The class is going on today from 6 to 7. All supplies are provided, and you may register online at wractivityreg.com. That's wr.activityreg.com. Or give the Parks and Rec Department a call at 715-421-8240. That's 421-8240. Class location is at the Lowell Center Art Room in the Centralia Center. Pre-registration is recommended, so either go to that website or give them a call.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to check this out. And join the talented Mary Beth Severin in making adorable wooden Christmas presents to decorate your home for the holidays.
Ooh.
That class is coming up next Tuesday, November 29th from 6 to 8. You will receive step-by-step instructions as well as all the supplies. Again, if you'd like to register, give Mary Beth a call at 715-421-8240, 421-8240. Love these kind of things that they got going on over at the Lowell Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's fun stuff right there. And, of course, Beth, we want to let everybody know about another good story of the day, the great Green Bay giveaway going on, New Year's Day giveaway.
Coming up, 2 tickets to the January 1st game for the Packers versus the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Great game. And their club tickets. So you get to stay warm even when it's cold. So you can register at a Dropbox location for your chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business. and will become the qualifier for the Green Bay giveaway. Mm-hmm. Qualifiers will be placed into a hat, and one final winner will be selected for these tickets. You can go to any one of these four locations to register: Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. So you have until November 28th. That's when registration will close, and the winner will be announced on our airwaves on November 30th. Please remember, one registration per person per location. Mm-hmm. So you've got four chances if you go to each one of those locations.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We want everybody involved in this. Buy local, support local, shop at these businesses. Mm-hmm. When you stop by there, thank them for us. And thank you, everybody, for getting in on this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to give those away. And we got to give away a turkey today.
We did.
With our friends at Quality Foods. Big shout out to them, and thank you to them, and thank you to everybody that played along with mm-hmm. this. A big thank you and a shout out, Katie Brandt, our winner.
Congratulations, Katie. Enjoy that turkey.
Congrats, Katie. Enjoy. Let me know what time you'd like me over for Thanksgiving dinner. No. Katie, enjoy that bird. And thank you again so much to everybody that played along with this one, that called in. Keep on listening for other great fun giveaways we'll do. Tons of stuff coming up. And a big thank you to Quality Foods. Stick around. Got Playmakers coming up, everybody. Join us for that. We got Bob Brickhauser in the house. He's going to join us to talk about the Cranberry Classic. And Randy Paul will be with us as well to talk some sports, and you'll be on the radio too because it's your show. Call in, join the conversation. Playmakers is coming up. You guys have a great day. Be good to each other.
You too, James.
Yes, you too.
And we'll talk to you sooner than later right here at, well, you know what? Pam says it so much better than I do. You say it, Pam.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.